increase participation and ownership of employees. So the performance management system, earlier it used to be this guy is, you know, there was a video I remember in my trainings I used to show that, you know, how do you actually, there was a joke which was there. And so people say that, okay, how does the senior management does the, calibration of the salary and the bonuses of employees. What they do is there's a joke. They say that, you know, everybody, huddles together in the room, in the closed room, where nobody is allowed to come, calling it calibration study. So nobody should enter. So complete D&D in place. And they see what they do is they put the names of the people whom they want to promote or who are there, whom they want to appraise. They put the chits and then they, you know, fly the chits on the air and then picks up. So whichever chit reaches ground, they say, you know, he gets excellent. Whichever reaches on the table, they get good. Whoever completely lies here and there and you do not have a clue about it, they get poor. Okay, so that's how, so the joke has been. So gone are those days where, people even talk about and think about things like that. Okay, so now it has become very, very AI-backed, very, very scientific and also allows employees to participate in the whole process. Okay, so performance management tends to be very effective when the individuals are an active part of it. And and they are, as I mentioned to you in one of my organizations, I was very, very excited about the whole concept of process of setting the goals for the quarter. So I was just looking forward to it. So employees being actively part of the goal setting and progress monitoring and feedback collection for their own work performance. So collecting your feedback, whether it is through 360 degree, whether it is through some survey, employees being a part of the whole process, they find it very fair. They feel that there is no injustice happening. Everybody's looked at it fairly. Okay, so everybody is following a particular process. So people are confident. So employees become very confident about the whole process because they are themselves involved in it. Performance management trends, strong need for all-rounded feedback. Previously, 360 degree feedback was sought more for development purposes. So earlier, 360 degree feedback was only just because they wanted to do a check on their development areas. But now it has been used for performance management, has been used for selection. A lot of usage have come into place now. So simplifying the system and encouraging meaningful interaction, greater emphasis is being built around encouraging meaningful dialogues between the appraisers and the appraisers, which means the manager and the subordinate. So as I mentioned to you earlier also that in the chapter 13 that we have been talking about, organizations are wanting to train the managers on skills like giving feedback. Okay, so and the emphasis has been built around that, and that you need to create meaningful performance dialogues with your subordinates. Not just straight away saying that, you know, you did bad this year. You get into specific, you get into SBI, do you recall it? Situation, behavior and impact analysis, and you kind of share this, where all you did well, which are the situations that you did really well, and show that impact that he has created, and what are the improvements that he can make. Okay, year-round feedback and continuous recording. So this is again one of the important parameters that needs to be taken care of. Shift from a one or two times a year activity to a continuous activity. It can be as continuous as a quarter, or it could be as continuous as a month as well. Okay, so if it's a very, very small team, you can, and then you are working with a group of specialists and you have very clear goals for monthly goals, you can create even monthly. Okay, so this is made to keep the process active in the form of performance logs, update sections, and continuous recording methods. So everything that has happened, whether you did well in some areas, whether you failed in some areas, whether you completely broke through in some areas, everything is getting recorded by this virtue. So that's what is called as your year-round feedback and continuous recording. A strong need for all-rounded feedback has come into place actually recently, as we spoke about. And you know, so instead of just waiting, because a lot of times what happens is that, you know, in some organizations, rewards and recognitions comes only after a few years. They look at it. I have been into some organizations like this as a consultant, and I have seen the way they look at it. This person has been rewarded last year. Why should we reward him this year also? Okay, what is that? I mean, if he performed last year and the same results he's getting or even better, why not reward him for this also? Because reward becomes valuable only when you recognize it at the time when it was achieved, isn't it? After 2 years, 3 years, doesn't make any sense. So instead of waiting 3 to 5 years of completion of service, employees are being rewarded and recognized for first work anniversary. So organizations are now striving, saying that, you know, gone are those days where it says that, you know, a 5th year work anniversary, congratulations on your 5th anniversary, congratulations on your 10th anniversary. So we are not looking at it, you know, the millennial workforce and all of that with times, it's changing. The whole concept of being in an organization is become, it's looked at it very differently. If you get exposure, if you get growth, you'll be sticking around. If you're able to have a good learning curve, you'll be sticking around. If not, if you're seeing your redundancy over a period of time and you know that you are not going to make headway to the next role, you will move to another. So why not appreciate somebody's work anniversary every year? So a lot of organizations are moving towards you know, appreciating people for completing even 1 year of service. The time gap between recognition and worthy action has dramatically reduced with immediate mobile recognition. So I have seen, this is one of the examples that I can share. One of the companies that I was a consultant with, the manufacturing company, and we have recently, I helped them put together an employee engagement tool where they had to recognize each and every member of the team as and when the recognition takes place, as and when something good happens. So so initially what was happening, because the process was done so stringently, it was led very centrally earlier. So since it was central, so obviously very few people gets a chance to get recognized. So now having the tool with them, the managers are able to do that. But even then, they were behaving like as if it's going from their pocket. Okay, so what we did, we still felt that the number was way less. The percentage that every day we will see, every week when we pull out the report, not more than 3 to 4% was actually getting recognized in the overall in the organization, okay, across geographies. So not even 3%, less than 3% it was. So then we finally made the whole concept of rewards being non-monetary. So we wanted to see whether it is basically the, you know, because the cost, they were very cognizant because every reward was going from their individual business kitty. So we realized that, you know, probably that's the reason, because of the cost consciousness, you know, managers are stringently giving the rewards. Then we saw that actually it was that. Okay, so over a period of time, they started. So when it became non-monetary, they started recognizing much more frequently. And recognition becoming more interactive via face-to-face video or recorded message. So the moment you achieve the target, the moment you did something really, you know, breakthrough, what you do is you immediately call for the person and you immediately, you know, highlight it in front of them via video call or via town hall or via online, you know, Google Meet, you know, for using any of the mediums. You basically provide an instant gratification to the person. So it gives a lot of elation. It also gives you a lot of motivation, and rewards are actually, you know, also comes along as a, you know, valuable thing then. Because if you are being rewarded for something that you've done 3 years ago, it makes no value at that time, right? It does not create any value after 3 years because it become already redundant. So hence you have to be, you know, rewards and recognitions are gaining popularity to bridge the gap of time lag. Okay, so you do not have too much of time. So instant gratification is more in play now. Rewards are being made flexible and also customized rather than one size fits all. Right? So one size fits all have completely gone out of the window. You do not have, like, say, you know, you have this entire, you know, whole lot of watches being brought, and everybody who completes 5 years of service have been given a watch. Everybody's watch. So nobody wears that watch now because there's no uniqueness in it. And you don't see anybody who has got that. And the watch must be of a great brand also. But people do not bring it to the office because it does not give any. Everybody is about uniqueness now, isn't it? Do you like anything which is common? You do not like it. You like everything that's customized for you. So hence what happened is now, so rewards are being made more flexible and they're being more customized as per the personal need. So with increasing work, so hence these platforms come into place. The platforms gives you a vouchers. Let's say the example that I was giving you in that company. So what we did is the non-monetary, the monetary, you know, monetary rewards were actually vouchers. Okay, so as for example, you are giving a so for something that you have impacted business, you know, it has it gives you a voucher of say 1500 rupees. Okay, so you have a choice of buying whatever. It gives you an Amazon voucher, 1500 rupees mein whatever you want to buy, you can buy, or you want to put in more money and buy something bigger and contribute to your kitty. It's fine with that also. So hence people prefer those kind of things because it is unique to them. It is something that they can choose. It is not something which is available to everybody. So with increasing work environment with team-oriented efforts rather than individual, so team rewards are gaining more momentum now. And over a period of time, more than individual recognition, nowadays it's more of a team recognition. Even one certificate of saying that the most in the pandemic, the most active team participation goes to the marketing team, say. So they were the most active, they were the most available, most approachable and during the pandemic. So they do not give one person each. So they give a certificate which talks about the entire department. Okay, so those are gaining more momentums now. Now we talk about HR technology trends. Ensuring employees have the skills that they need is a top priority, as we mentioned. It's a part of talent management, actually. So ensuring that all the employees have the requisite skills that they need is become a top priority for any organization, especially for the HR team. So technology has become inseparable and an integral part of people's life. And since it's people who really from the working environment, the practice and process devised from them will necessarily be impacted by the fast-paced technological changes and advancements. So hence, technology is inseparable and we have to bring in newer technology. We have to keep introducing new and then get adapted to the technology and be able to make things more faster and much more user friendly, and at the same time it has to reduce our work, it has to automatize our routine work. Okay, and it should be for the people. It cannot be it should be for the people and of the people. Okay, it cannot be something that you introduce and people struggle to learn that. If the HR function in the organization will not embrace these technologies themselves, they will be left behind. So hence the HR technology, as you say, that anything that starts, anything that change, anything that leads to change always starts from home. When we see that, if you say that, you know, it starts from home, it's us who have to be the early adapters first. If we do not do that as HR professionals, we will see that we are getting redundant and we are getting left behind by the technology that is there today, who is very, very savvy, who is very, very savvy workforce. Okay, so the various technological trends that HRs today are facing are all these. Increased use of workforce analytics. We spoke about this, use of logic, use of why. Mobile HR. HR does not have to be limited to a work desk. It can be completely mobile in nature. It has to be simple, intuitive, and user-friendly interfaces. The HR has to be on cloud. You can't say that, you know, I do not have this. You are expecting people to complete the induction module, and the induction module is available only on the intranet. Are you living what you're saying? No. You said that induction needs to be completed and the workforce is completely remotely placed. Now, he has to have the availability of accessing the whole content on the cloud. social media and HR, extensive use of videos, application, anywhere that you go, anything that goes wrong, immediately you'll see a video doing the trolls everywhere, right? So extensive use of videos, application of chatbots and AI. The moment you open a website, you'll see, the moment you open a company website, you'll see that, how may I help you? You'll see an assistant coming in. You'll see a chat box, popping up asking for, if you require help, offering solutions. Let us understand these three trends in detail. Okay, so increased use of workforce analytics. We have already spoken about analytics quite some time ago in the last chapter, in the chapter number 13 as well. So this is an era of big data. Everybody is talking about big data today. And this is, and anybody who is aware of the big data concept is doing well in the space of HR. So though HR is drowning in data, HR is always dumped with and overwhelmed with data, but it is not completely adept. They're not using the way it is supposed to be used in the best possible manner. Okay, so there's a lot of challenges. There are a lot of scope for HR to use the data in the right form. Another one, which is again a trend that has been really triggering the whole HR fraternity, is the mobile HR. So data shows that sales for mobile devices currently exceeds that of personal computers. And keeping this in consideration, HR professionals recognize the need to connect with prospective candidates via their mobile devices. Okay, so it has to be, the HR has to be available on mobile. It does not have to restrict to your telephone calls. It does not have to restrict to I'm not in office today. So hence I cannot, if you are not in the office, too bad. You have to have it delegated so that somebody gives information, or you have to automatize the information. Whatever, but you have to reach out back to your stakeholder. Okay, simple. It has to be simple, and the mobile HR, it has to be simple, intuitive, and it has to be user-friendly interfaces. HR departments are focusing on fresh, integrated, simple user experience for HR software. So they are looking at as simple softwares like PeopleSoft and these softwares also to start with, so that they are able to, the employees are able to adapt it immediately. Another trend which is going on is on HR on the cloud. Now what happens when the HR is not on cloud? The HR professionals are interested in cloud-based systems. That means move from systems of record to systems of engagement. So which means otherwise, if it is not on the cloud, it is only for record, right? Nobody is able to see it. Nobody is able to access it. So here, if it is on the cloud, you put your employee ID, you put your name, you get the entire picture in front of you. Okay, so it is an engagement. It is a data which is used for engagement, not only for record purpose. Then next one is your social media and HR. Now this is again very, very sensitive. Okay, HR professionals are increasingly using the social media network, whether it is to track, whether it is to engage the prospective client, prospective talent. If you have pitched one talent and you saw that he's very relevant for the position that you have, and you have been in touch with this because you have done the screening, he got through the screening, so you did the first level of interview, and then the stakeholders are away, so you're not able to conduct the next level of interview, and you know that he's an active candidate, so he might just get offered by somebody else. And if it is a skill-based job, it's all the more important for you to be in touch with them, so they want to be in touch with them, with the prospective talent via social media, whether it's through LinkedIn, whether it is through Glassdoor, whether it is through Facebook, Instagram, whatever, but they are in touch with it. So that's what is social media and HR. What about these extensive use of videos now? The videos are becoming a top tool for HR, okay, with software solutions needing to be video friendly. It has to be video friendly. So application of chatbots and AI. A chatbot is an artificial intelligence, we all know that, software that can simulate a conversation or a chat. There's no person behind it. It's just an auto pop-up which comes because it is backed with AI. And the moment you enter the website, you will be asked questions like, how may I help you today? Then you can write, okay, I'm looking at this. So the chatbot will direct you to the respective link or give you the right number. But AI also has certain limitations. That's a separate thing altogether. But yes, this is how the AI's application of chatbots happen. And it chats with the prospective client or the talent in a common language, in a natural language. So let us look at the key implications for the HR professionals. Now, what are the implications now? Okay, we have seen what are the changes, what are the trends which are happening, the challenges that we are seeing. Now, we are seeing what are the implications that can happen. The HR department will become leaner by outsourcing. Now, when you also have to be cognizant about the fact that when you're outsourcing parts of HR, your department will become leaner and leaner. Your department will become smaller. Your team size would get constricted. Strategic thinking for HR will become an imperative. If you do not have the strategic thinking in place, you will not even get selected. Okay, so that's become an imperative now. Increasing demand for specialists across all levels, specialists are required. Okay, and whether it is to do with marketing, whether it is to do with the IT, whether it is to do with finance, whether it is to do with HR, whether it is to do with supply chain, everywhere you require specialists. You do not only require managers. You do not only require frontline to just take, you know, work as per instructions of the manager. You will have to have specialists around who's able to be strategic enough, who is able to be executor enough, and then also have the concepts in place, have the full knowledge about it. Okay, so who is consciously competent of his own skills. Increased use of analytics and big data in HR, increasing imperative to deal with remote workforce. How is it that we deal with remote workforce is completely new to us. We have not done this in the past. We have been, we have to look at it now. So how do we look at it? HR to become more like marketing. So it's just like attracting, how you attract, customers. It is just like that, attracting the right talent. So hence HR is almost becoming like HR. Being a strategic partner, it requires HR to make accurate projections based on understanding the business objectives and the organizational goals. And HR professionals will also need to give up their operational and transactional role to outside agencies and focus on becoming strategic partners of the business leaders. It has to be, you have to be very, very strategic over a period of time now, and you have to help and support the business leaders in there. So hence the whole concept of BP HR has come into place, business process HR. HR, or you can call it HR business partner. Okay, so these are the designations that are there. No longer, concepts like HR manager typically are there now. It's more of BP HR, where business process HR, where you help and support business. And you are able to make accurate projections based on understanding the business objective. You see the business objectives, you make projections. Okay, this is the kind of resources that are in need. What is it that we have to do it? Okay, what is it that we have to do to be able to cater to this need? Is it, do we require more resources? Do we require more infrastructure? Or do we need to reduce the number? What is it that we are looking at? Some more imperatives. When you have strategic thinking in place, it results in strategic HR professionals. They are being titled as a HR business professional, as I mentioned to you earlier, that either they are called as HR business partners or they are called as HR business professionals who not only understand the HR innuendos but also business operations and strategy. They do not only work with the payroll, with the salary computation, compensation and benefit, but rather on PMS, they focus on how to contribute towards the business. They understand the operations and the organizational strategy very, very well. Increasing demands for specialists, which I told you earlier. More and more organizations are trying to concentrate their best efforts in the development of specialists. With outsourcing of various HR functions or use of external consultant, in-house HR will have more specialized roles than generalist role now. Okay, so you will not have too much of a generalistic role, you will have more specialized role, BP HR, a functional HR, you know, everything will be completely designated. You'll have an adjective before the word HR. Increasing use of analytics and big data in HR. We have already spoken about that to quite an extent. HR professionals will increasingly need to deal with challenge of managing a remote workforce. Remote workforce needs threefold effort on part of HR professionals. Firstly, it's about educating the managers who have difficulty in managing people from a distance. There are a lot of managers who needs everything in handy. They want that the resources should be close by. They should call them. They should, you know, say that, okay, come here and do in front of me. There are a lot of managers who have these challenges. So first, you need to, as an HR professional, you need to educate these managers to deal with this distance. Second is you keeping employees in the remote locations engaged and bonded with the organization. If you fail to do that, if you have disengaged employees, there will be the belongingness of the organization will go low, and the people will start moving out. They might look for options outside, and vice versa. All these kind of things can happen. So hence, keeping employees who are working remotely engaged all the time. Thirdly, ensure proper norms and practice to encourage such a work environment and enhance productivity. Okay, so put together norms that completely qualifies, to encourage a work environment and enhance productivity. The moment you see that these are the things that they're doing, these are the must-dos that their employees have, they have to follow those to be able to produce effectively. HR to become more like marketing. As we discussed this earlier, hiring is becoming more like marketing, with identifying targeted candidates and reaching out to them directly or indirectly. So just like how, if you can take an example of when Airtel tries to pitch customers from Vodafone, or Jio tries to pitch customers from Vodafone, what they do? They just call up the customer saying that, you know, you'll be getting the same number. You can shift to Jio. Jio will pay you. For Jio, you will only annually pay 2,000 rupees. Whereas in Vodafone, you must be paying around close to 600-700 every month. So we are going to do this. So what they're doing, they're just marketing and selling their brand, right? So which is what our HR candidates does now. Actually reaching out to them directly or indirectly. Pitching them for the brand, for the company. It is also believed that HR's role as marketing will need to be extended beyond hiring and will require internal focus and building employees as brand ambassadors and having brand ownership. So people should talk, people should be, the employees who work in the organization should take pride about the brand. They should display the brand in their shoulders, and they should actually speak of the brand. And they should be, organization should be able to build people from employees with such pride, and which will actually bring in your brand ambassadorial traits, and you will actually have walking and living brand ambassadors. You don't need separate brand ambassadors for your brand, for the company. Your employees are brand ambassador enough to promote your brand. Okay. Thank you.